George Lopez has been doing stand-up comedy for decades. He's had his own sitcom on ABC for several seasons, appeared many times on HBO and Showtime, and was part of the Obama inaugural celebration at the Lincoln Memorial. Since we last spoke with George, we have a black president, a Hispanic woman headed for the Supreme Court, and an announcement that George is launching his own late-night talk show on TBS. Sure, there'll be plenty for us to talk about and plenty for him to talk about. George Lopez, how you doing?
I'm great.
You must be great. Boy, a lot has happened.
A lot is going on, man.
Yeah. Are you having the most fun you've ever had?
You know what? I've always had a bit of a, I can't believe this is all happening. It's one of the reasons I don't Twitter, because it would all look so false.
Oh, interesting. What do you mean?
Where I was or what I was doing, they'd be like, this guy, what the hell?
I just had the perfect ham sandwich.
He's making it up. I hate long lines.
Right. Oh, you mean you don't want the... I don't Twitter either, mainly because it seems like just a waste of time to me.
Well, you know, not everyone should know all of your thoughts. I mean, it's ridiculous. No one is that important.
Now, do you Facebook?
I have a Facebook page, but I don't look at it. It's maintained for me.
Got it. It's like a fan book page.
It's just like a fan book. Yeah.
That's cool. So people can hear a little bit about you.
Exactly.
And are you PDA'd and BlackBerry'd up? Do you have an iPhone?
Total BlackBerry'd up.
You're a BlackBerry dude.
And I'm phone phobic, so I don't really use a phone during the day.
Hey, George, you're huge what an asset to the Hispanic community. I mean, everybody. I don't mean to pigeonhole you with the Hispanic.
I was not done asking him about his electronic equipment.
I know, but I'm leading into that. Have you considered a brown berry for the Hispanic community?
I have not yet. I think the keyboard would be too difficult to master.
Fair enough.
Thank you, sir. And what about your home TV equipment? No, I'm only kidding. So lots going on. You were part of the Obama inauguration. I don't think we ever got to talk to you about that.
No.
Was that a special moment for you personally as well as America?
Well, you know, I got a call from him in February of 2008 when they were coming to Los Angeles, and I hadn't really picked a candidate yet. I knew that I probably would have to at some point, you know, because of the influence and just the visibility. So Chris Rock called me and said that Obama was trying to find me, and then Hillary Clinton's campaign had sent emails, but very impersonal emails from a third person, never from her. So he said...
I don't know if they were cold emails. Maybe they were from her.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It was cold and impersonal. It sounds like her.
All lowercase letters, not even a capital letter.
What are you wearing? A pantsuit.
Yeah. So I love the fact that he called me himself, and I had seen Michelle on Larry King, and then I thought, you know, I'll help this guy. I like what he has to say. I like who he is, what his story is, and, you know, we went at it, and it worked.
I've watched that probably a dozen times with my daughter. It's on
You've watched the inauguration over and over
It's
again?
Not the inauguration. It was the celebration leading up to the inauguration, and George gets up there and says some great words. Bruce Springsteen sings with Pete Seeger. U2 is there. I mean, it's just an unbelievable day, and to have been there must have been something. Back to your electronics, do you have that thing on your DVR, and do you sit there and watch yourself and go, I can't believe I was part of that?
You know, I haven't seen it, you know, being there. And, you know, I went to the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in 1984 with my grandparents, and we stayed all in the same room, and we were kind of struggling financially, but they always wanted to go to D.C., and they were getting older. It was tough back then, you know, and to go back and be on those same steps in that situation and have all of those people there and being part of it was, you know, it's one of those things where you can't believe your eyes, what you're actually seeing, you know, and you lived a long time. And I didn't know he was going to be there. I thought it was just for us. And then we were in the back, and he showed up walking down those steps. It was pretty amazing.
And the funniest thing is this is history being made. You're making it. And the president's there. Michelle's there. And right behind them the whole time is somebody snoring like crazy.
Who was that?
Fell asleep. It was one of their, it was a nephew or niece or somebody.
I love that.
Every time they pan, if you watch this, they pan on the president, at the time president-elect, and Michelle, and there's this little girl that is just knocked out cold. I mean, Bono's out there singing his heart out. Bruce is singing his heart out, and this girl, she slept through the whole thing.
You know what I think was great? When we were leaving, they had a private reception at a tent, but you had to walk. And back, that was the most secure area ever, you know, so... we're going back, and there's a couple of limos, and they look a little older. They have the 44 on it, which is his number of president. So I think George Bush kicked them down a couple of old limos to use for the day.
George, in Los Angeles, a lot of stuff going on that's making the news big time. Gay marriage, courts upheld Prop 8, the Prop 8 vote. Where are you on that? Where are you on that? I understand that if you were already married, you get to stay married?
If you're already married, I'm not sure if you believe it. I think however people can be happy. Listen, I've been married for 15 years. If people who are gay want to live that life and be unhappy, then you're welcome to it.
Brilliant.
If I was gay, I wouldn't get married. If I wasn't married, I wouldn't get married. So it has no preference on your sexual preference. It's just about overall happiness, which is unisexual.
Well, your wife, though, she's such a special lady. Is it true that she, like, gave you a kidney when you needed one?
You know, when somebody gives you an organ, it comes with a heavy price.
Uh-oh.
Now, what happened? Did you have a bum kidney?
I was born with a congenital defect. And, we try to raise a lot of awareness for the Kidney Foundation, but also overall health, Bob. You know, wealth is what people always aspire to, but they don't aspire to be healthy first. And we don't live forever, and we live in a society where, you know, you try to go get something healthy to eat at any of these convenience stores, you're not going to find it. So I've never been like a preacher of anything other than just in my stand-up, my ideas. But overall, great health and maintaining a decent blood pressure. If your feet swell, it's not because you run fast.
Right. and I have experienced that. It's kind of a weird frustration. Like if you go through phases where you want to get healthy, right, and you start eating salads and everything goes good until you're hungry. And you're in the greatest land in the world where everything is available at your fingertips. And you walk into a convenience store and you look around and you go, nothing here is good. Like you look, you could buy a water.
Right.
Just water is the only thing you could buy. It's a weird feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And look, I have a little Kirstie Alley in me. I used to eat and eat in my car before I got home.
No kidding. Joe does that now.
Well, George, so you're the picture of health. I mean, you used to come into our studio in the early 90s when you were doing stand-up. You look older then than you do now. You were bigger and older looking 15, 20 years ago than you are today.
Yeah, you could be right. I was pumping bad blood, and now I'm healthy, and I'm trying to do good work. I mean, It's hard enough to be happy, and I hadn't been healthy, and I've only been healthy for 4 years, so I'm trying to make this last. I don't know how long this kidney's going to last, so I got to make every performance count.
Well, are you like David Crosby? Because you're a celebrity, you can keep getting a new kidney?
I doubt that will happen to me.
Seriously, if you said, Joe Lopez, I need a kidney, someone's going
to
jump up.
I have to go to Facebook and put on my blood.
Well, you don't want to hear your wife say, what happened to that one I gave you?
Yeah. Hey, George, I remember the movie Real Women Have Curves.
Yes.
And you played a teacher in that. You did a fantastic job. If you could have been a teacher in school, what subject would you have taught?
If I would have been a teacher in school, I may have. I had an English teacher that was pretty cool. This guy. In the later 70s, and he taught us in a way that we didn't think we were learning. So I probably would have maybe taught English, although it's not one of my strongest subjects. But if we're fantasizing, then I'm fantasizing that I'm smarter than I am.
Hey, let's try this fantasy out for size. Let's fantasize that a Hispanic got on the Supreme Court. How do you think that would change the country?
Crazy, man.
I think that the Supreme Court should reflect what the country looks like, and this is a step towards that. It's a female, but she looks masculine, so we cover both faces.
Just waiting for the joke. Now, on a serious note, with your talk show, what are you going to do on the talk show? Are you going to do like a monologue and,
You have to do a monologue, but right, it's going to be a little bit more like stand-up and less standing there. You know, my assets, which are to not make it all about one subject and to put, you know, human condition things along with some political material or whatever's happening that day. I'm not going to use a desk. There's not going to be a stationary talking position.
No desk on your talk show?
No desk.
Wow.
And no cards. I'm not going to look at cards. And I'm not... You know, I'm not afraid, and I think that judging by all the complimentary well wishes I received from the current host of Late Night TV, I think we're ready to put on a good fight.
You're ready to rock, and now
ready to rock 'em.
Now it's on TBS, and Jay Leno is moving, right? He's going to 10. Is it 10?
Yeah, 10 o'clock. Yes.
Yeah, and then Conan's going to 11:30. What time are you going to be on?
I'll be on at 11 o'clock, starting November 9th.
Ah, you're sneaking in for the people who could care less about the news or want to get it from you.
You know what? You get the news all day long. Anyways, it's not like, Bob, you know, when we were kids, you watched at 5 and you watched at 10 and 11, and that was right for the day.
That's it. You know what? You can get the news on your BlackBerry.
You know, so
whenever you want.
You know, everybody's seen all the Friends. I think I'm replacing a couple of episodes of Friends, which is actually very good for me.
That's public service.
You could get that on your iPod all day. That's fascinating. And you know what? The news, let's face it. I mean, kind of the network and even the local news is kind of, it's on demand, it's everywhere. And when you watch it, what do you see commercials for?
Yeah, you see commercials for, what are they?
A hemorrhoid cream,
right.
Erectile dysfunction, free scooter,
fiber, Bennett fiber,
exactly.
Good bowel movements.
Exactly.
What kind of commercials will we see on your show?
You'll see a lot of the same, but with a more variety of actors.
Those bathtubs you can walk into. I love those.
That's good stuff.
Now, are you hiring any writers? Are you going to use writers?
Yeah, of course. I got Lance Crowder, who is Chris Rock's head writer, to be my head writer.
He's awesome.
And some really young, exciting director. And it's the same people that produce Ellen and produced Rosie O'Donnell. So,
oh, neat.
They're good.
Do you do any freelance stuff?
Absolutely.
Because you know, our Pedro, he doesn't brag about this. I brag for him. He's been writing for Jay Leno now for like 5 months.
Well, he's probably got a gig then.
George, I do whatever you want me to do for you, sir. I honestly, I wash your car. I know you don't care about cars, apparently. But I do whatever you want me to do, sir.
Okay, get some Ion free water and meet me at the...
shouldn't have brought out the car.
He's from Argentina, but he writes American. I mean,
love that.
He's like La Choy to Chinese food.
You can pick me up at Home Depot. I write with a paper there. Just drive by with a truck and I'll be there.
All right. Hey, George, seriously, do we have your email so Pedro can send you some stuff?
You don't, but I'll make sure you get it.
I'm going to put you on hold, my man. Congratulations on the new show. Do very, very well, and we'll talk again.
Got it. Thanks, Bob. Thank you, guys.
Do you have a foul-mouthed boss? Do you think that cursing at work is good for morale? Some bosses say that a few four-letter words in the workplace are actually okay. Is there a study about this?
Yes, there is. Not a lot of bosses, but like 11% of company heads encourage swearing as morale boosting.
All right, it's time for... Is there anybody out there who's been fired for cussing?
And in our job, don't call, because obviously...
Radio guys, yeah. Any radio guys locally ever get fired for cussing?
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. Suspended.
Suddenly disappeared.
One.
Yeah.
I worked with one who slipped something in on the children's station.
Oh, you were at Radio... the Mouse.
Radio Disney.
Before the Mouse took over, yeah. And it was the funniest thing in the world, but they had to take him off the air for a while.
Like, for a while, forever.
Was it that on the Hold the Little Bastards moment?
Yeah, he didn't realize... He was on the air when he said the big one.
That's sad. If you don't do it on purpose, it's a shame you lose your job, but you do.
Well, he didn't lose
Mickey
it.
Mouse.
Just
He's
just
a real effing talent, that Mickey Mouse. That's a brilliant effing little mouse right there. Was this on?
1-800-252-1025. Is there anybody out there got fired for cussing? Now, is there anybody out there that works at a place that proudly cusses?
And I think when really important people swear, it almost endears them to you a little, and you want to work harder for them. I mean,
what do you mean?
I don't think Bill Gates swears, but I've never met the man.
Oh,
so
I bet he does.
I don't know.
Are you kidding? The day that Blue Screen of Death showed up at the technology conference?
What the flap noodle is this? What Skelly Wonker is? Let this conspire.
The day Google went public and he saw what that stock did.
Oh, shiznit.
1-800-252-1025. Andy and Ballard, did you get fired for cussing?
I did.
What happened?
Oh, you know, I was working for a big distributor, and I was packing in like 50-pound bags of potatoes in a flatbed truck. And the guy ordered too many, and I had to unload. And as I was grabbing the potato sacks from this wooden flatbed truck, a splinter went into my nail bed in about a good quarter of an inch beyond what you see at the end of your nail, and I let loose. I had to go to the hospital. They had to take the nail off. And,
oh, dude.
I came back, and they said, oh, we have to let you go.
So you're not,
why? Oh, you can't use that kind of language in this kind of industry. And I'm like, it happened to be my middle finger. So I...
oh, sweet irony.
Ouch.
I didn't... Yeah, that's what I think of you guys.
Whoa.
Swearing is a perfectly natural reflex to pain.
For pain,
and when absolutely. when you hit your hand with the hammer or something.
Wait a minute, did you do it in front of anybody?
Yeah, the whole store. It was right in front of the customer.
Oh, well.
Have you ever heard of the torture with the bamboo reeds underneath the fingernail?
Sure have.
That's how much it hurt.
That's what that was.
Wow. So did you feel the firing was justified knowing their business?
No, not at all. I mean, it was very much like torture, and I feel like I have a pretty high tolerance to pain, but that was just a little above beyond my threshold.
Okay, thank you, Andy.
Even if you never swear, the worst word you know is what you're going to say when you get hurt badly. I mean, that's just what comes out. Think about it. I mean, every time you've ever been hurt, you don't say, oh, gee willikers. I mean, unless that's the worst thing you know.
I don't know. Some people say invoke the name of our the Son of God.
Right.
That isn't the worst word, you know. It's the best word.
Have you ever let one fly in front of your kid when you got hurt?
No, but my dad did once.
Really?
Yeah. I was 40 at the time, but it still was very traumatic.
Back to somebody yells, Goldwater!
He did not swear until I was 40. It was the first time I ever heard him cuss.
Did you just go, oh, man.
Right.
Dad!
It was actually an endearing moment. Andy, thank you. Who else has been fired for swearing? 1-800-252-1025. And who proudly swears and cusses at work and it's part of your job? Ben, hello.
Hello.
You were fired.
Yes, I was fired for... I worked at the car wash, and one of the guys that I was washing his car, he heard me say a cuss word. Well, he called the car wash owner and got me fired.
That was it?
Yeah, they were pretty religious, I guess, and they didn't like swearing. And then I worked...
Or you worked at the Holy Waters from Heaven car wash.
Oh, that's a great place.
And then I worked at a construction company, and everybody used to cuss like none other. The whole job site, everybody was cussing, and it was great.
We have only one person who will tell me that, yes, I cuss at work, and I'm loud and proud. Nobody else called with that loud and proud.
Lou Piniella on line 3.
Lou Piniella.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, these guys.
Rob in Seattle. Rob, what do you do?
Yeah, I'm a longshoreman. So we kind of, you know, we've always been known for, you know, being the worst swearers, I guess, anywhere.
It's part of tradition. In fact, have you ever fired someone for not cussing? They never cussed at all?
I don't know, but, you know, it's getting worse now. You know, we're getting more politically correct and everything with everything. So it's harder now.
Really?
It's still pretty much out there. On our, we have radios that we talk through, and it's pretty prevalent even on those, even though we're really not supposed to do that. But.
All right, brainstorm with me, if you will. Which jobs can you cuss in? Longshoremen, for sure, fishermen, right?
Yeah, shipyard.
Yeah, carpenters, you know, construction.
Right, any framers.
That's what I've done all my life. Although I was sort of fired about 30 years ago. I worked for a window manufacturing company, and they, anyway, a guy actually was firing me, and I knew why, because he had just become the boss and everything. And previously, we'd had encounters before he was the boss. And anyway, he fired me. So then, basically, as he fired me, I called him a bleeping jerk or whatever, something like that. And then he says, "Now you're really fired." And I'm really fired. How? You know,
he was just thinking about it before. Yeah, I actually, now that I think about it, I cussed at a boss when I was fired, but It was 98 Rock when I left 98 Rock.
I remember that day.
But had you already been fired?
Longshore.
Yeah, I was already fired, so I took the opportunity.
You already had another job, too, right?
Well, yeah.
It'd be a little easier.
There is one cuss word that longshoremen invented, and most people don't know it.
Would it get on a license plate?
I'm not going to say it. No, it would not get on a license plate.
It would not.
But
you invented it. You're sure you invented it? Because it's like the wave. We claim to have invented the wave at the Kingdome, but other cities.
In Atlantis are pissed.
They claim they invented it too. Do you sure you invented the cuss word?
Yes, it was. It's the worst word you could ever call a woman. It rhymes with the baseball.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
It.
I didn't get it. I'm slow.
Anyway, and what it refers to, it's an old longshore term, and it refers to when you're putting, like back in the old days when they had bundles of like paper and different things, pulp and stuff like that, they would put things into smaller area. You'd have like you'd fill in the very.
I just got it. Thank you very much. Okay,
yeah. that's what that was called.
And we thank longshoremen for that.
Yep.
Thank you. He's happy though.
I think he's a longshoreman. He's happy. That's a hard. You got to just about be born into that union. That's a tough one.
That's
to
a tough
crack.
Union to get in.
Yeah.
Dane in Lake Forest Park cusses at work. What do you do?
Well, I install security systems, but it's not actually we're not supposed to swear in front of the customers. But it's more about in the office in the morning when we all show up. It gets pretty raunchy.
Just for fun.
Just for fun, and it's really a mood booster.
Now, why is that? Because you get to be irreverent?
Just, you know, have poking fun at people, having fun back and forth. I mean, we got a guy in there that's black. We make fun of him for that.
You make fun of him for being black at work, and everybody's cool with it.
Quite a morale booster, that is.
Are you sure?
Well, there's another guy who used to work at a security at a gay bar. We make fun of him for that. We call him gay all the time.
Remember when that gay black fellow sued the pants off of us? That was a hoot and a half.
Well, wait a minute. What sort of things would you say?
Just like someone says something and you just shoot back with your mom, you know, it's just like you shoot back with, yeah, well, at least I'm not gay.
With your mom. Bum, bum. Hi-yo.
All right. So you would use like the N-word on your black coworker?
On the what? Say that again?
I don't know if I could say it again. I think it doesn't count if I say it like this.
You can't drop an N-bomb on him at work, right? You would never do that.
I would never do that, but I mean.
But your mama jokes are okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny as long as you don't really mean it.
Right, and that's the way all conversation is. Intent is what matters.
Uh-huh.
But we can always misconstrue each other's intent, so right. It's dangerous at work.
No one ever means anything by it. We're just poking at each other, you know?
All right. And what do you do again?
I install security systems.
Nice to know. Thank you, Dane.
Don't say poke into the gay fellow, though. That could be offensive.
Who's here? Zach is. Zach is in Enumclaw. And you got... Did you get fired at this job, or did you get away with it?
No. Hey, Bob, it's the Walrus, man. I
oh, boy.
Yeah. No, I was a diesel mechanic. No, it was pretty much commonplace every other word amongst mechanics and drivers.
Right. It's what they do. And usually they're not in front of frontline customers. That's right. One of the reasons they can be salty.
Oh, no. Actually, the customers are worse than the mechanics were.
Well, they're diesel truck drivers.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Swear like a sailor, swear like a truck driver.
Right.
Those are Hey, Zach, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic.
Are you coming out to see us tonight?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to tonight. My girlfriend's actually coming in from Utah. Right at the
really?
Beginning of her internship, she moved down to Utah to go to nursing school.
And is she nursing now?
Well, she hasn't finished school. She has about 8 more months.
But okay. Will you be nursing later?
I hope I will be.
Okay. Zach, we miss you. Zach was the not-so-little drummer boy.
Oh, hi.
Well, I'm usually leaving about 5 o'clock, right before you guys all get
yeah.
there.
Yeah, you got a paying gig out of that. You're still working here.
Is he still working at
CBS?
In
the middle of the night,
I never see him.
Yeah, he's the guy who keeps a watch on things in the middle of the night.
All right, Zach, are you going to be a not-so-little drummer boy again this Christmas?
Oh, you know it.
Right. I know you dropped some weight because the girlfriend was coming to town. You going to put it back on for us for the holidays?
I don't know.
Did he drop weight, really?
Yeah, 51 pounds in the past 3 months.
Wow.
That's cool.
I know.
What's your secret? Loneliness? I mean, did that do it?
What is your secret?
I've actually started taking an acai berry juice.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I've heard about that.
That loses weight?
I'm telling you, one of the side effects, what a Cyberry does is it reduces the amount of free radicals in your body. And one of the side effects of that is actually weight loss. But, yeah.
Where do you find this?
I didn't change a whole lot of my diet. Just started taking this juice. And, you know, I obviously started trying to eat a little bit cleaner. But
okay, so the eating might have not have had nothing to do with
not
it.
At
it was
all.
Miracle juice.
Cyberry juice. I covered it with pancakes with it and put it on steak.
No exercise or anything? Just...
I walk on the treadmill a couple times a week, but
okay, that's good.
Joe can handle that.
Yeah.
All right. Just so the treadmill doesn't get cobwebs on it. Thank you, Zach. Barry in Seattle, go ahead. You cuss at your job, and you say you feel pressure to cuss.
Well, not pressured. It's sort of. I spent 20 years commercial fishing in the winters. Used to work on the longshore. Now I'm a carpenter. Yep. It comes with territory. You sort of slip into it before you know it. I got to ask, are we on time delay?
Yeah, we are on time delay, but you shouldn't have to ask.
Okay. Something, just in case something slips out.
Okay, because it'd really be easy for you. Yeah.
So it's people look at you funny if you're not. You know, they start thinking that...
Oh, you're a plant from immigration.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And actually in the fishing industry, there's names for certain parts of the boat that I can't say on the radio.
They give the boat anatomical names?
Sure.
Sure. Would you like to hear one?
I don't think so. You're gonna have to swab that deck for me first. Give me an example without saying the actual word. Like, what part of the boat is called something else?
Oh, for instance, on a purse-seine boat, there's a bar which all the rings from the net gets tacked onto, and that's called a bull. What is a bull known for?
Nuts?
No, not a horn.
Close.
Other end.
Testicles?
Thanks, Maura. Appreciate the help. No, Maura's really kicking in for the show.
I really, really jumping
really
on
works
there.
Hard.
Yeah.
Giving it all up for the show.
Rear?
Anything I can do.
But? Well, the thing that comes out of the bowl?
Richard.
That's what it's most known for.
The thing the bowl uses to make more bowls.
Okay.
Richard, come on.
Got it. Thank you very much. All right. Done with you. Michael in Seattle, hello.
Yes, hello. How you doing, Bob, Spike, and Joe?
Yours is interesting. You cussed where?
Stock brokerage firm in New York.
Oh, I bet you did.
And by the way, I'll be down there to see you fine folks at the Emerald Queen Casino tonight.
Thank you, Michael. We're looking forward to it. What are you most looking forward to? The Rock?
Lots of words.
The Rock? The competition for the Unexpected Idols? Or Eric getting the crap kicked out of him by a girl?
I'm not sure if Eric's going to get the... can we say that word?
Yes.
Oh, I love you.
Jesus kicked out of him. I think he's going to hold his own. But I saw you guys at your first rehearsal in a bar and bought Spike a shot of tequila. And everybody was great except the keyboard player.
Thank you. I suck. I suck less now.
He's gotten a lot better. And Spike still drinks tequila before every show.
Yeah. Well, anyway, back to the question. Stockbroker's firm and even the ladies that work there, you know, would scream across the room, hey, you C-word, I told you I wanted 7/8 on that buyout. And it was back and forth. And
even the lady stockbrokers?
Oh, you bet. Worse than the guys, or better than the guys, depending on your point of view.
Actor-comedian Owen Smith has appeared on Comedy Central, Star Search, The Gilmore Girls, and Everyone Hates Chris. Owen Smith, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic, man. I'm excited. My father just told me something heavy about a week ago. He is my father. So.
Good. Luke.
But, yeah, I was holding my breath. I was like, what's about to happen? My father just became a U.S. citizen about a year ago.
Just now?
Yeah, and he just told me. And I'm in my 30s, man. I could have used that growing up. You know what I mean? He could have been like, go to your room. I'd have been like, man, you go to your room before I call immigration. You know what I mean? What kind of secret is that to keep from a son? I could have been all them butt whoopings. What? So, and now he said, you know why he said he became a citizen? Because he wanted to vote in the 08 elections. I was born in the Bahamas, but I came to the United States when I was one because I needed work, you know?
Yeah. And
my father, he became a citizen. I remember he was walking around the house going, Bush has got to go. Bush has got to go. And I'm like, he's going to go. It's been 8 years, you illegal dummy. Yeah. Isn't that question number two on the citizenship test? Like, right. What kind of citizen is he?
So he quietly studied and got and learned the Pledge of Allegiance and all of the presidents?
All that.
Without telling you?
Yes.
Wow.
Became a citizen, man.
So, now, where are you from?
I was born in the Bahamas, raised in Maryland, but I became a man in Chicago. Do you know what that means?
That means I, being from Maryland, have never become a man? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I lived with my mom. My mom raised me to high school and stuff in Maryland, Prince George's County, Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C. Growing up, I used to line sales from Washington, D.C. because it's sexier.
PG
County. Yeah, that's right. That's
so you are? Are you saying you were like a mama's boy that you didn't really get out and do anything?
Nah, I didn't have a basement growing up, so my room was next to my mom's room, so I couldn't bring girls over. You know what I mean? I couldn't do anything.
So not till you got all the way to Chicago did you become a man.
Oh, that's kind of becoming a man.
Yeah. So I had my own place, paid my own bills, stuff like that.
Go ahead and scream. My mom is 2,000 miles away.
Yeah, and now I live in Los Angeles. And how I got to Chicago, I went to Notre Dame. And when I graduated from there, I just made the natural migration up to Chicago.
And now from Chicago to L.A., both monstrous cities, not a big stretch there. But you have to be in L.A. to be in comedy, don't you?
No, you don't.
You don't?
No, to get on TV and stuff, you think you do. You know what I mean? And what I've learned about being in L.A., you really don't need to be here to be successful in comedy. A lot of people think this is actually the worst town for comedy. It's because, you know, they make no money here. They make it in TV and film. So do wherever you are, just become a star wherever you are, and L.A. will find you.
L.A. will find you if you're good. Oh, I see. That's interesting. Because in L.A., if you're getting started, you are literally, you're just playing for free everywhere to be seen, right?
Man, free for meals, $7 sets, $13 sets. It's really, 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 and it's not a lot of, but like if you're in Seattle or when I was in Chicago, there are a lot of paid spots. It's a lot more nurturing, you know. Here it's vicious, man. This is a vicious town, dude. Wow. So I came here at the right time, though.
So, and whereabouts do you live in L.A.?
I live in West Los Angeles.
West L.A., okay.
Yeah, right by, not far from UCLA.
Okay, well, that's got to be cool. Now, are you single? Are you married?
I am single, man. I am single.
Single comic living right next to UCLA? That's got to be good.
You know, yeah. Bad deal, you know. And I was just in a relationship. I'm single again. I'm kind of liking it. It's rough out there. Are you married?
I am married for about 500 years I've been married.
My goodness. Yeah. My goodness.
She's amazing.
Get your Bronze Age anniversary.
Get my Bronze Age anniversary. Yeah. And what do you get for bronze?
What do you get for bronze?
New shackles.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, man. How many children do you have? Do you have just one?
I have the two, as far as I know.
Okay, that's funny. Now, did you, when your son told you he wanted to be a comedian, were you excited and embraceive about that?
I'm so glad you asked, Owen, because it was an amazing moment. One of our show members writes for jokes for Jay Leno.
Okay.
And he's an immigrant who worked really hard on his craft for 5 years for no money.
Wow.
And my son, who has dabbled in like comedy, like he'll do toasts at weddings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
He got laid off from his job and he was sitting around making nothing and he was grumbling about the world. Wow. And I said, I grumble about the world. I get paid for it. Why don't you? and he was he's on unemployment. And I call that the Obama Comedy Scholarship. So
hilarious.
So about 4 months ago, he started doing all the open mic nights. And, boy, it was really, I don't want to say anything.
Wow.
but seen a baby fall down when he tries to walk.
Yeah.
Pretty much like that.
It's really good now. And I know what the kind of guy he is. Mm-hmm. He'll want to meet you backstage and ask you for advice.
He can ask me anything.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
now, you are forthcoming about your influences, the guys that influenced you. Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock. Did you talk to all of those guys?
Let's see. I didn't get to meet Richard Pryor. I saw him perform, but it was after he was sick, you know?
Yeah.
But I got to meet Cosby. I got to hang out with Cosby for a whole day, which was awesome. I didn't get to meet Red Fox either. He had passed on by the time I had, been around. But I got to meet Cosby, Franklin Ajayi. I tried to take him to lunch every couple of months. He was the first guy that showed me it was okay to be black and not from the hood and be funny.
Oh.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah. You didn't have to use it as a crutch.
Yeah, and apologize for your intelligence. Like, it's a big, like, back when Cosby and those guys, all those guys were from came from the hood. Like, Dick Gregory, they all came from the hood, and they were doing comedy from that perspective. Franklin Ajayi did, well, not Cosby, but Cosby also came from the hood in Philly. But Franklin Ajayi did this joke on one of his albums that blew my mind. He was like, I used to act like I was from the hood, and I asked my teacher to let me write a paper on it for extra credit. And she said yes. So then I had to go do research on what it was like.
What it was like for actual poor people.
And I thought that was brilliant. And I totally butchered this joke. I paraphrased it. I was like, oh, my God, you can do that? So
you can research stuff.
Wow. Right. You mentioned Dick Gregory. You should ask him to go to lunch right now because he's on a hunger strike. We just talked to Dick.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, I met Dick. You know what's crazy, man? Dick Gregory has an album called Dick Gregory On. And to me, it's one of the funniest things ever. It was just him doing jokes. It wasn't preachy or anything like that. Not saying anything's wrong with that, but it was just him just telling jokes. And I thought it was amazing because socially, he was just in the pocket, right? And I met him, and I was so happy to meet him. And I extend my right hand to shake his hand, and he shook my hand with his left hand. And I thought, oh, that's the new thing? All right, left hand thing?
He thought it was some kind of a
smooth. I'm walking around. He's like, no, fool, I had something in my hand.
That's funny. The first fist bump probably got started in some innocent way like that, right?
Yeah, I just went to the bathroom and they were out of paper. Let's just bump. Let's bump.
Hilarious.
Hey, Owen, what do you think of President Obama so far? These are unbelievable times, nothing like we've ever experienced before. And here we have the first black man in office, and it's not like we gave him an easy presidency.
Yeah, man. Here's the thing, man. You ever notice whenever they put a black guy on a popular white show, it's always during the last season? like Friends had Aisha Tyler, ER had Eric LaSalle, whatever his name, wasn't it? I mean, not Eric LaSalle, CSI has Lawrence Fishburne, So now that we put a black guy in the White House, does that mean it's the last season of Earth?
Korea's launching all these missiles this week?
I mean, look, man, here's the thing. You got swine flu, pirates, really? Pirates, when the brothers in office, pirates come out. You got the economy is messed up. Honestly, man, being president right now after George Bush is a lot like being the next guy who dates Rihanna after Chris Brown.
Ooh. you're saying
he got it rough, man. It's like, really?
You're saying democracy is jumping the shark as we speak.
Oh, man. It is crazy right now. And what's really crazy, I'm telling you, the Mayan said the clock is ticking. I hope it's not the end of our days. And I'm going to be real with you. I knew I would live long enough to see a black guy in the White House.
Really?
Yes, but I never, ever knew in my life that I would ever live long enough to see the day that Banks had to ask a black guy for a loan. I never thought I'd see that, man.
Owen Smith in L.A. Owen, thank you very much.
Thank you, and can I tell people to get my DVD? It's anonymous, and proceeds go to the Chris Elliott Fund.
This is a big charity for you, the Chris Elliott Fund. All right.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, man. So the DVD, you can get it at my website, owensmithisfunny.com.
owensmithisfunny.com.
Click buy DVD or amazon.com, keyword Owen Smith Anonymous.
Owen, we will put a link up that at bobrivers.com. Make it real easy for everyone to spot.
Thank you, guys.
Joining us in the studio this morning is a group of very accomplished musicians who are part of a very ambitious undertaking. They call themselves Nearly Dan. They recreate note for note the complex and timeless music the great Steely Dan. The group is made up of 14 musicians, some of the best players in the business. Now, we've crammed about half of them in here, so it's a stripped-down acoustic version of what they do. Only seven musicians in our tiny little phone booth-sized studio. Now, I remember even in the day when Steely Dan's albums were brand new, that people would talk about the fact that they, as far as rock went, were the finest musicians, that they were top-level jazz musicians that somehow managed to find a way to play popular music that became hits. And it was almost like that we were sneaking some jazz into pop culture. Would you agree with that?
Sure. They had a great background with studying Coltrane and Miles Davis, and they brought that into the rock-pop vein as well, and great combination.
And is Steely Dan, like, are they happy with Nearly Dan? Are they, have they sent you any anything on legal paper?
Sanctioned by Steely Dan?
No. Nothing? No?
Yeah. No, we haven't heard of it. It'd be great though.
They're a couple temperamental guys, I know that.
They don't get along with each other, much less people who take their music.
Was it fact or urban legend that Steely Dan never played live for years and years and years, because it was almost impossible to do what they do live?
Yeah, they, they toured after their first couple of records, and then after that, they were mostly a studio project, and they took a break, I guess. When did Gaucho come out? Like 1980, and they took a break for a few years after that. But they tour now. I went and saw them at the winery last summer, and it was...
That's right. I've seen them, too, recently.
And they've got, they tour with like, the heaviest hitters in jazz and rock and roll.
Right. We want to come play with Steely Dan?
All right.
Mm-hmm. So, you guys, where do you all hail from? Where are you from?
All over the Northwest.
Yeah.
You're local, though, regionally local.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's the farthest? Like, some guy in Idaho?
Olympia.
Trumpet player in Olympia.
Yeah.
I don't see him today.
No.
He's got a drug problem, doesn't he? He can't get up this early. I'm kidding, of course.
You guys were trained all over.
He can't get up this early, even because he stays up all night. No.
You guys were all trained, like Berklee School of Music, Cornish. I mean, you're students of music.
Yeah.
And that's...
You're pros.
This music demands that. You absolutely can't do this without a background in many genres, including jazz.
Well, we have time for a couple of songs. Ladies and gentlemen, a big treat in the middle of the morning for your commute. I give you Nearly Dan, under some of the worst playing conditions they've ever played in. Here we go, Nearly Dan.
All the time, you know she's smiling. You'll be on your knees tomorrow. back, do it again. We'll turn around and round and go back, Jack, do it again.
Nearly Dan. Nice. Huh, you guys just lock right in. There's no messing around.
Thanks.
Tasty.
Let's taste another. Nearly Dan on KZOK. Dan, fantastic. You can see half of Nearly Dan, half Dan. That's what this is actually this morning. Half Dan on our website, bobrivers.com. You guys are fantastic. That's Nearly Dan from the Pacific Northwest. Nicole has a really cool email, which I don't want to give up because.
Fair enough.
It's. I'll give you the first part of it. It's Hot Kitty. Hot Kitty.
Wow.
That takes a certain gumption, doesn't it, Maureen?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Mine is
if you had to, like, warm fuzzy?
Warm fuzzy, yeah, that's it. Warm fuzzy.
I mean, if you had to have a real, narcissistic email about yourself, what would you do, Joe?
Narcissistic, boy.
In other words, I'm the hottest.
I'm the schnutz, yeah.
Buffet boy, and I don't know.
That's good.
I have one of those.
You have a buffet boy at hotmail.com?
Well, my email and my home email is part of my occupation. I mean, it's not like, you know, Joe Luscious or anything like that, but it's
Joe Licious.
You know, it's
Joe Licious.
I like that.
That's available. Joe Licious.
I might should jump on that. You never know.
I might should jump on that.
My email is Joe Radio. That's what I use.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
Explains, you know, what I do and all that.
All right. I have one that's Muddy Rivers, just because of Muddy Waters sounded cool, and, you know, I just was looking for a creative one.
Someday you could be a blues man, and you'll have that thing nailed down ahead of time.
And we're not going to give you the end of the email, because we don't want a lot of spam, but what's your private self-conscious email?
Well, mine is Rolling Along.
Rolling Along at bitemy.com. Pedro, do you have one?
I know, actually, my name. I always forget my email, so I decided just to go for my name.
Right, but the private email that your wife doesn't know about, the one where you get those daily mailings of photos of young women.
Poverty boy. No, I don't have it.
Poetry boy?
Yeah. No, I don't have it.
All right. Who has one they're very proud of? An email you got that, you know, it's fun. You don't have to give out the whole email. Just give us the first part of it.
Most people would like their names, but Joe Bryant, Bob Rivers, I mean, you got to jump on that stuff because there's so many of us. That's why you have to go to a creative email, because you can't get your name.
True. 1-800-252-1025. The gals are fantastic. They rehearsed again with Trish, who's keeping track of who sings what and what's going on. And she says, we are going to have the best Spikettes we've ever had. They are, and it's not that our previous Spikettes weren't big pros. In fact, they were. But now we have a total of 8. We have a variety of singers for all situations. Some just fantastic lead vocalists. Some very happy to be, well, one of them sang for John Cougar Mellencamp.
That's Kelly, right?
She did it professionally already. So tonight, when you see Cold as Ice and that huge chorus comes up, they're going to just smoke it. And they also seem to be very, very nice people, especially Susan and Nicole, who we got to work with in practice.
Got our first text message email here. Manicured Bush is the handle.
Manicured Bush at something.com.
Right. He's a landscaper.
I would hope he is.
He's a landscaper.
Or she. Yeah. I don't know. Right. But
you can text these. Text us to us at 243-00. Marcia in Snohomish. Hello. Marcia, what is yours?
Mom of one cool dude.
Mom of one cool dude at blank.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's long.
I know. I love it, though. It's fun.
Because people will get it when you give it to them, and they'll remember it, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And mom of one. There are no words that are difficult to spell.
No. In fact, a number in there, too.
One. The number one?
Right.
Oh, it's one? What if I spell it O-N-E?
Oh, then you wouldn't get to me.
I'll get to some other mom who has one cool dude.
Yeah.
All right, Marcia, thank you very much. 1-800-252-1025. John and Lacey, hello.
How you doing today?
Good. What's your whacked out email?
JB the Hut.
JB the Hut.
Yeah.
And those would be your initials, JB.
JB and my initials, and it just kind of fit.
That worked really good, yeah.
Yeah.
At blank.com.
Exactly. It's easy to remember.
All right. I'm just, if you wanted to put it out there, it's up to you. We have lots of pharmaceutical companies listening to the show. They'd be happy to get your email address.
Sure would. It's at Comcast.
All right. Thank you. I don't know how I talked them into that. I think you should be, like, I think you should be harder to get your email address than in your virginity.
Boy, that's a pipe dream.
Because your virginity, yeah, you're going to want to give it up. Your email address, and once you give it up, it's gone. But your email address, you know, they'll be on you for life. You'll never be able to use that email address again. It'll be everywhere.
just like your virginity.
Yeah.
I hadn't put the two together before, but that's right there in the pocket.
I don't know if this one's serious, but the guy says Giant Hose is his email address.
Giant Hose?
He washes elephants at the zoo.
Sounds legitimate.
That sounds right. At the Woodland Park Zoo?
Yeah.
Giant Hose at blank.com.
Criminal Mind Frame at Slap the Wonderfly.
Slap the Wonderfly?
Says that's my oldest email address, still my favorite.
You wish you could go back to 95 and land on some of these. Who's got the most creative email address? Ginger in Seattle, hello.
Yes.
You're on.
Mrs. Santa Claus.
Mrs. MRS.
Ms. Santa Claus.
MS.
Yes.
Ms. Santa Claus.
Yes.
Oh. And was it around Christmas and your kids were asking about Santa?
Well, I have so many kids. Hi, I'm Miss Santa Claus.
Oh, okay.
You're married, married to a big fuzzy man. Is your husband is Santa Claus?
Well, of course.
What kind of woman do you think she is, Joe?
Connection's a little fuzzy to the North Pole. But yeah. Ginger, thank you very much.
Quite a beard.
He's got a big beard.
Okay. Like a beard.
Sure.
All right.
Quite touched beard.
For the very first time.
All right, thank you. You'd have to see the TV for that.
Yeah, the email's never too early to drink at. But
who's got the wackiest email? Dave and Everett, what's your email address?
Well, I work for the Seattle Seahawks. I do security. I'm 6'8", 400 pounds, and they call me the Barricade. And so my email address is the Barricade.
The Barricade at blank.com.
Yeah.
Are you also disguising your voice for us?
What's that?
No.
No,
I guess
he's
not.
Okay. Why don't you come down here, and Bob can ask you that smart question in person. That'd be fun to watch.
Dave, with due respect, thank you very much.
All righty. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Play back that 6'8", 400-pound part again.
David in Fort Lewis, hello.
Hi.
All right. You got a whacked-out email address?
I'm that guy.
That guy at blank.com.
Yeah.
You hit on a lot of women?
No, it's a play on my last name spelling.
Oh, okay, so. Okay. It's not about that. All right. That guy at blankety-blank.com. Thanks.
We've got Lizard King 64, which means there's at least 63 people that thought of it before he did, probably. Insane at blank.com.
Insane? Really, the word was available.
Run with scissors.
Run with scissors at blank.com.
Blue veneer. I don't even know what that is. Hopefully it's not obscene. I just said it. Blue veneer.
Say it again.
I think you're good, Jess.
Innocence is so engaging.
Paul in Arlington.
Yes, sir.
There you're on. Go ahead, Paul.
All right. NEEDIRT at gmail.com.
Needrit.
Need Dirt, spelled with one D.
Need Dirt.
Yeah, I'm a dirt jockey.
You're a dirt jockey is a guy who's one of, that's what they call a shock jock, right? Like Howard Stern. He would be a dirt jockey.
You got a dump truck, right?
You got it. Got
right. Oh, that's what
Soiler.
They call you a jockey?
Dirt jockey.
A dirt jockey.
Popeye the Soiler Man wasn't available.
That's fantastic. I love the phrase. It makes me want to do it. I would think hauling around dirt would be fun.
You haul around Mother Nature all day long.
That's it. But what can you do wrong? You can't hurt the dirt.
Wait a minute. Tell me you cover your loads.
I do cover my loads.
Thank you. As a motorcycle rider, it ain't just the rocks that come at you. It's this big cloud of what's in my eyes from uncovered loads.
Aren't you supposed to be wearing a helmet with
goggles? I got glasses. I got eye protection. But when there's a cloud of dust rolling down I-5 for somebody to another load covered, dangerous.
Is it a law that you have to cover your load?
Not yet, but they're going to make it a law everywhere.
Now, do you cover the whole load, or do you put a little spandex cover on it?
Got a reservoir, you know.
And one of them butt floss load covers.
No. We cover the whole load.
All right.
Boy.
Thank you, Paul, the dirt jockey. Vivian in Shoreline.
Hi, mine is Love to Pee Off.
Love to
Pee Off?
Pee Off.
Pee Off.
What does that mean?
It's an equestrian term. It's trot in place. I'm a competitive horse rider.
Okay. So these are all, the good ones are all related to what you do, and it helps people remember what your email is.
Yeah.
Now, you're a competitive horse rider?
Yes.
For money?
Unfortunately, my particular equestrian discipline is the one that doesn't pay money. It costs money, a lot of it.
Oh, what kind of competitive, like you go to tournaments and things? And
Yeah. Dressage is what I do. Pee-off is a dressage term, training term, and it's an Olympic sport, believe it or not.
No kidding.
It's one of those Olympic sports that they show at, 2 a.m. because nobody watches.
Now, is that the one where you kind of make the horse dance? It's like horse dancing?
That's exactly what it is.
That is unbelievable.
I've seen that, yes.
Yeah, and it's scored like figure skating is. The judge gives you an individual score for each movement in the test.
You got to lift the horse above your head and spin in a
circle. No. You ride the horse and you sort of like you make a jump while you're on it, right?
No jumping, it's sort of like dancing.
It's dancing.
It's dancing. It's all right.
I can see where it's expensive. You've got to go through probably truckloads of carrots to train that horse.
Is that what the Lipizzan stallions do?
Yes, that's exactly what the Lipizzan stallions do. That's what it is.
And how much of your time and money does it take to do this? A lot, right?
Most of my time and all of my money.
Wow. But you love it.
Well, that's why I'm divorced. My ex-husband, bless his heart, has a T-shirt that says, "My next wife will not have horses."
You're kidding.
Awesome.
Thank you, Vivian. Yeah.
He's the horse widower at AOL.com.
That's a whole different story. Animals ruined my marriage.
That is, save that for later today. An animal destroyed my marriage?
Yeah.
I'll bet there's great stories there.
God.
Donnie in Port Orchard, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's your whacked out email address, dude?
Evil Weevil.
I get to ask two questions here. Why are you evil, and what is a weevil?
Well, it's a Hot Wheel. I'm a Hot Wheels collector, so that's my favorite. It's a Volkswagen with a motor in the front and a motor in the rear. That's my favorite Hot Wheel.
Now, are any of those Hot Wheels worth money? I used to have boxes full.
They are. They're absolutely, put them on eBay, get as much as you can get for them. The market's still strong on Hot Wheels.
The market is still strong. The federal banks have collapsed. International currency is not worth anything anymore.
My Beanie Baby investments went belly up, but Hot Wheels?
You got Hot Wheels, you're hot.
Solid. How about the Matchbox cars, the inferior Hot Wheel? Are they worth anything?
No, they're not really worth anything.
Okay.
Elitist.
So evilweevil@blank.com. Are you evil, or is that like Evel Knievel? Is it just because it rhymes?
It's just because it rhymes.
Got it. You seem pretty harmless. Donnie?
Yes, I'm here.
All right.
Verified.
Anyone who's got the same name as Go Away Little Girl's author, it can't be that hard. Donnie, thank you very much. Evel Weevil? What's your whacked out email address?
Got a lot of...
Yeah, hold on. Joe's got a few.
Blacklung420.
Blacklung420.
Yeah, I think a lot of...
At blank.com.
Yep.
Gee, I wonder what his hobbies are.
A lot of misplaced pride there.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like to visit him in the emphysema ward someday.
Something to go see.
All right, what else?
Got my black asses at blank.com.
Black what?
A-S-S-I-S. That's from Jim in Everett.
Don't know what
my
he does.
My black... A-S-S-I-S, so...
is at AOL.com.
My black ass is at AOL.com?
It's where
he
works.
Well, it's not AOL.com, but...
Don't spam me. That's where I work.
It's from a legitimate guy. So
all right, Guy, you're on. What's your whacked out email address?
Nick Danger.
Nick Danger.
Strong.
Sir.
You got that a while ago, right?
Yeah, from Fireside Theater.
Yeah, very good. That's a very old reference.
I've also used Rocky Rococo.
Rocky Rococo, which is much harder to spell.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. All right, we're almost done with this. John in Lake Taps, what are you?
I'm Lawnmeister.
You're the Lawnmeister.
Yeah.
The Meister, the Lawninator.
That's right.
What was that Saturday Night Live character?
Cutting lawns.
Cutting the lawns.
The cup making guppies. The lawninator.
Yeah.
The lawnadola.
Driving the lawnmower.
The lawninator. Lawnadola ding dong.
Thank you, John.
Keep it low.
One more from our attorney friend, Sean Alexander. Sean?
Good morning.
You have a good one.
Well, it's positive law.
Positive law at blankety-blank.com.
Well, you could actually give it out because it's on the Bar Association's website, and it's already out there.
Sean is a lawyer. He's a lawyer who believes in doing good.
Well, so I think there's positive things you can do with the law.
Yeah.
You know what? I know it's still available, Sean. It's the honest one at barassociation.com. That one
no one has that.
Hasn't been picked up yet.
Positivelaw@gmail.com. In case you ever hear Sean on the show and you want to actually ask him a legal question, he will actually answer it.
I will try.
Until I give it out on the radio and he gets too many.
Again.
Well, I don't mind. But I think that the law is too many times seen as a negative. It's a way to fight with somebody and pick at somebody. But it's also a way to protect yourself and do good things for people.
Positivelaw@gmail.com. Now, we've discussed this. The term positive law actually has a scholastic meaning as well, doesn't it?
It does. There's moral law, there's natural law, and moral laws, you know, religious or what your morals bring to the table, and natural laws.
Give me an example of a moral law. I don't know any.
Well, you know, being honest.
Oh.
Not killed. The Ten Commandments are kind of the basic.
All right. Those would be moral laws.
Okay. Right.
And sometimes moral laws overlap with, you know.
Frequently.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's like natural law. Law of the jungle, the dogs will, you know.
That's eat or be eaten.
Yeah.
Survival of the fittest. That's natural law. Okay.
And then positive law is what man imposes on his fellow man to get along in society.
Ah.
You know, you're going to merge, you know, the person on the right has the right of way, you know, yield to traffic. These kind of things that they don't really have a big impact on the morals, but we need them to function.
Win-win law. So law for it helps everybody.
That's right. And, you know, I just think that there's too much of the focus on these real strong cases that are like where it seems from the outside that someone gets a very small injury and they get a real high reward, or they use the law in a wrong way. And I just think there's too much of an emphasis on that. I think that there
and an actual name for laws that man make is positive law.
There you go.
Okay. Little known fact. Thank you, Sean. Do you have the little known fact sound effect? We haven't heard that a lot lately. Thanks. Kendra in Kent, what is your whacked out email and what does it say about you?
Well, I'm a female iron worker working here in Seattle, and my email address is Iron Maiden.
Nice.
Ooh. IronMaiden@blank.com.
Yeah.
Did you wait for the band to forget to pay their dues on that and squatted on it and nailed it when they forgot?
Yeah.
Now, as an iron worker, what does that entail? I picture you next to a hot cauldron, pouring hot iron in, wearing one of them big suits, and I imagine you use a lot of oil of Olay at the end of the day.
Actually, I build high-rise buildings and bridges out of steel and rebar.
Wow. The stimulus package is going to be good to you.
Yes, I hope so.
Yeah, because you're shovel-ready.
Yeah.
How'd you get interested in that kind of work?
Say that again?
How did you get interested in that kind of work?
Oh,
very loud where she works.
This fascinated me to see these buildings going up, and I wanted to be a part of it.
That's cool.
Kendra, the Iron Maiden. Thank you, Kendra.
A lot of people do their occupations. I got a couple more quick ones. This guy investigates aircraft accidents. Kickin' Tin is his email address.
Kickin' Tin.
Yeah. And another one.
You know what they call air traffic controllers.
That's Pushing Tin,
That's
right?
Pushing Tin.
Right.
There was a movie called that.
Right. He's Kicking Tin.
He goes to it after it crashes and he kicks it. Ouch. Yeah.
Cable guy whose specialty is getting into the tight spots where most of the other techs can't get. Rafter Rat is his email.
Rafter Rat.
Yeah.
Oh.
Small guy.
Ugly job in the summertime, man.
Is it?
Oh, it's hot.
Plus, aren't you breathing the
insulation?
The insulation vapors?
Fiberglass, if you're lucky. Dusty, moldy crud, if you're not.
Good for you.
Yeah.
We got a confirmation on the Bluvenar It's actually Blue Vayner, the guy says.
Oh, now you're in trouble.
Oh, is it?
He's well, a Blue Vayner.
He says himself. He's married.
Walks around with a raincoat.
Yeah, a boy.
What's that in the window? Ah, it's Blue Vayner.
Yeah.
What is Blue Vayner?
He's a varicose veins. Let's stop now.
All right. I don't know.
Let's just say, call him a phlebotomist.
Yeah.
He says, I got that because I'm married. I don't know.
To be insulted by Don Rickles is an honor, and many presidents, royal family members, and great entertainers like Frank Sinatra, Bob Hope, and Johnny Carson have been the target of his sharp-tongued barbs. The word legend does not even do justice to describe this comedian who's been making the world laugh for more than 50 years, and he's still doing it at such a high level that he won an Emmy Award last year. Don Rickles, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hello.
Hello, Bob, Spike, and Joe, and Charlie, and Lou, and Al, and Frank.
Hi.
And your whole army, yes.
Yes, the army from,
I loved your introduction. I between you and I, when I pass away, will you be there and repeat that?
I can repeat the whole thing.
I can only dream.
I was thinking, I'm giving him such a glowing introduction that I might not even get to be insulted by you.
Well, the insult is I'm doing this show.
Thank you. Here you are. Don, how are you feeling?
Pretty good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Life is good. Your health is good. And your health?
Yeah, well, that's my dream to be coming to Seattle again. I got up in the morning, I said to the wife, we're going to Seattle. Got so excited, threw the pillow in the air. It's unbelievable.
Like Mary Tyler Moore. Yes. So you love cramming yourself onto an airplane and traveling around the world still?
Well, sure, for the money I make, why not? It's better than, you know, doing the old job as most Jews do, being a jeweler in the east side of New York. I don't want to be a jeweler.
You stay a lot in Vegas, Mr. Rickles. Is that a hard city to live in? Do you have to make some rules for yourself to live in Las Vegas?
No. You sound like a Mississippi cop.
I'm a Mississippian, but I'm no cop, that's for sure.
And he's actually the one the cops go after.
I don't think I'd have the discipline to live in a city like that.
Well, you know, like Bob said, I really don't admit it. Vegas, I work twice a year. In the old days, used to work for 4 or 5 weeks at a time. But no, that's entirely different today. I travel around the country. Atlantic City is very popular now today, too, you know, with the gambling. And down in your area, Mississippi, believe it or not, and Biloxi and all that whole area, before, you know, all those terrible storms, it used to be very big, too.
Like, and Tunica is big now, right out of Memphis there.
Yeah, I used to work at Tunica and all those places.
Now, it is said that you started insulting people as part of your show, but people love the insult so much.
Well, you know, Bob, when they say insult, God knows, I got tagged with that many, many years ago. Mr. Warmth is what Johnny Carson, rest his soul, called me, and that's what I say today. It's not an insult. All I do is just exaggerate about all of us, our insecurities in life, and it's not only about people, it's about life in general. And so it's not a set kind of thing where you come out and, you know, make a damn fool out of people, you know. Like on this show, it is ridiculous because this is a real mercy call. when I'm on the stage, it's just having fun with the life of people, and they take the word insult. People that have never seen me think, oh, God knows, what does he do? But I wouldn't be headlining all these years and doing the big Bob show if I wasn't, you know.
Wouldn't be on our show.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
This is one of my top choices.
Now, if President Obama were to invite you to the White House, would you work up specific comments for him?
Well, he wouldn't invite me. I think he'd be too scared and want to, you know, move back to Mississippi, wherever the hell he came from, you know. Live in Hawaii under a pineapple tree. No, he would. Obama's, everybody loves him, and I think he's a brilliant man. But I've been to the White House 3 or 4 times with Ronald Reagan, was my favorite guy, rest his soul. I did a show there, the inaugural show for him with Frank Sinatra, who I carried, by the way, for many years.
You carried it, yeah.
I can say that because Frank is gone, to my knowledge. Otherwise, it could be trouble.
Otherwise, it would be very big trouble.
No, I'd be on the Jerry Lewis telethon trying to get my arm straight.
People say that you're probably the greatest living comedian right now. I don't know if you're humble about that or not, but who would you say is the second greatest living comedian?
Well, I can't even say greatest living comedian. I know that I am God. But aside from that, Bob Newhart's my dear friend, and I always say Bob and I are friends, but the greatest comedian, hey, it's the guy that makes you laugh the most. But, you know, when you're a comedian, you're selling yourself. You're all out on the stage. You have no instruments. You have just your voice and your attitude. And so I think it's all attitude. And if people like you, you're very lucky. So
now, are there any of the young guys you like the, you know, the ones under 60?
I think I'm going to fly in that studio and give you a slap. How about that? No, under 60. I hate to pick and choose. You know, of the younger people, Seinfeld, I always thought was a brilliant guy. And as far as comedic actor, I love Nathan Lane. I think he's great. You know, so. But to go around and pick out, there's so many people out there that I enjoy. So I have no particular favorite. You know.
Don, you've given so much to everyone, all your fans, the entertainment industry in general, and you keep going, you keep going. Have you ever been asked to, or thought about taking just time for you and your wife to enjoy? And
well, my wife's great that way. She lays out a schedule now these last few years where we work and then we take a week off or 2 weeks and we go somewhere. We have a beach place down here in California. Or we always work it out that we get some time away. But years ago, we used to travel to Europe with Newhart and his lovely wife and Ginny and before 9/11, but now we have grandchildren and a lot of responsibilities, so we don't get a chance to travel that much. But we make time out for ourselves, we really do, and we lay in a beach chair down in Malibu and think of you and your show.
Yeah, of course you do.
That way you can tell what time it is by the sundial.
Yeah,
you always just always remember Mike and Joe. In fact, Mike and Joe are my favorites.
Mike and Joe. Yeah.
So, thanks, sir. It's an honor.
Very nice. So you and your wife, by the way, this is, deserves some note. You and your wife have been married for 41, maybe counting. How many years?
44.
44 years. This is an old bio. In show business, that's really rare. What is the secret to your long love?
It's not a secret. Some of these guys marry dummies. You know, I don't know who they marry, but I've been very lucky. I met this lady 44 years ago, and, well, more than that. And we've been together ever since, and it's terrific. It's just a matter of, you know, they say Hollywood. You know, I'm sure there's a guy in Iowa that's been married 3 or 4 times, and they put the light on down here where we are in California. And so when anybody gets married or gets divorced, it's played up pretty big. So you got a lot of people with problems. But in general, there's some good marriages going, you know.
Don, I saw you on The Tonight Show recently with Jay, and I know that you've done the show so many times with Johnny and with Jay. Do you have any advice for Conan O'Brien or anything you would tell
him? I think Conan's great. Conan doesn't need my advice. I was on with Conan in New York, and Conan has his own style, and he's very clever, too. And Letterman also. I love Dave. I've been on with him, and Jimmy Kimmel's a good friend of mine. So with talk shows, I've been very lucky. The guy, of course, as you all know, I'm sure, was Johnny Carson, rest his soul. He was the master. He made it. You know, if we go on that show sometimes, they have notes what we're going to talk about, and I'd sit down and say, "Hi, Johnny." He'd say, "How's your mother?" And I'd say, "You never liked my mother. What are you bringing up my mother for?" You know,
right off the bat.
And we do about a half hour about my mother, which we never planned on, you know.
Don Rickles. Don, you're coming to Snoqualmie. While you're there, though, I assume you'll be staying at a very nice place nearby. Is your wife coming?
No, she's living in a wiki up in Seattle.
Okay.
Well, yes, my wife will be with me.
All right. Well, take Barbara. Make sure you go and see Snoqualmie Falls. It's very beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll do that.
It's a waterfall.
Hey, I'm not stupid. I didn't think it was from the sink, for crying out loud.
For crying out loud.
You know, Johnny, Mr. Carson, I should say, used to keep his boat up here in the San Juan Islands. Did you ever get a chance to go up and see those with him?
No, I know him. Johnny, you know, personally, I was a good friend to him, and I was very proud of that. And he was a loner, though. His private life was pretty private. We'd had dinner occasionally, but he was a different guy off camera. He liked to be his own thing and didn't like the limelight. So I never had the pleasure of being on his boat, but I used to go to the harbor and, you know, spit in the water.
One of the phrases always associated with you, sir, is you hockey puck. Do you know who you called a hockey puck first?
Well, I think that started when I worked on a lot of saloons and joints in those days, the striptease places. Today, the waitresses are dressed better than the striptease artists we had. But those girls used to take off a minimal amount of clothes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They had, you know, it was sort of a rough crowd. And they say I used to call guys a hockey puck for no other reason when they heckled me, but I have never used it now in years, but if I walk down the street in New York, a guy from one of the rafters, a worker, yells out, "Hey, hockey puck." So it's always stuck with me.
Don, it's a pleasure to get a chance to meet you on the phone, and we can't wait to see you on stage.
Thanks a million. Get my best to Joe and Mike. They're dynamite. They really
Thank
are.
Thank you, Don and Mike and Bob and Spook.
Charlie and Lou and Al.
Bye. You bet.
Thank right. you, Don.
Be well, sir.
Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Spike has a pet peeve he wanted to bring up this morning. It's a personalized license plate that he saw that he doesn't think should be allowed. And I know we restrict lots of license plates. Like, if you try to get real clever,
yeah,
you'll get turned down. If you try to say something like, you know...
My brother, for example, has a white motorcycle. We were raised on the East Coast around... The Good Humor Man. Remember the Good Humor Man ice cream?
Remember the Good Humor Man.
So Kevin wanted to get a license plate that said Good Humor, but with a limited space, you had to write GDHUMR. They vetoed that.
Because it was Good Hummer.
It was in the post-Lewinsky era. And they said that was too sexual.
Wait a minute. Why did they allow those cars on the road?
I'm just saying. They are so ridiculously restrictive about what they'll let on a license plate. And I'm going home from band rehearsal the other day. Thanks to Black Dog, by the way. Thanks to the guys in Black Dog for letting us rehearse.
Randy and the boys always treat us very nice.
I'm coming home from their studio, and I'm behind this truck, and I got this license plate in front of me. I'm thinking...
And was it be in front of you for a while?
I followed
it. So it could tick
yeah.
you off
and,
repeatedly?
And start getting in my crawl, like that little thing that ate in Chekhov's ear and just lived there, you know? I mean, I cannot believe that of all the things they won't let you do on a license plate, that this was okay.
By the way, text us if you've been turned down for a license plate. 24300. 24300. Was this dirty?
No.
Nothing to do with sex? Because usually it's sex.
It usually is. And that's kind of what got me. I'm like, wait a minute. Because the first...
Well, that's why they didn't turn it down.
Well, at first I didn't think anything
They would like let you have a license plate right. that said kill babies. It would be just fine.
Funny you mention that. It was a crime. This license plate was a crime.
A crime?
A physical crime. On the books, prosecutable jail time crime.
Date your teacher?
Nope.
Date that, you
that's
are
actually,
teach?
That's just Saturday night, by the way. Is that my other pet thing?
I guess Mary Kay Letourneau.
Not for teacher.
Is that
night.
Thing actually going on?
That's what I actually
What's your problem with that?
It's, into,
they're
yeah.
totally legal now.
You cannot benefit from a crime. You cannot monetarily benefit from a crime. It's a law.
Well,
you
she
cannot.
Did her time.
Yeah, but you know what? The only reason there people come to see her is because of the crime she committed. That's why she's making money doing this, and that is...
We'll get back to that.
We're going off the road.
What's wrong with Mary Kay Letourneau making a living this many years later? They proved their love. They live together. They have kids.
I wouldn't go to the Jeffrey Dahmer all-you-can-eat buffet. He may have served his time.
I wouldn't pay a lot.
Well,
I wouldn't drop my kids off at the Woody Allen daycare center.
It's not a teacher meet and greet where real teachers are meeting students.
She wouldn't be famous if she hadn't been a convicted rapist and gone to prison.
If it were an all-ages club, I might have an issue with it. But it's adults. It's 21 and
anyway, back to what's really bugging you.
I'm following this truck home the other day, and there's a license plate in front of me, and I'm reading it. I didn't think anything of it because it's not sexual, but I thought about it for a while. I said, you know what?
It's wrong.
That's wrong.
It's a crime.
It is, and it may hurt people just knowing this. Just the tag said stalker.
S-T-A-L-K-E-R?
Exactly.
The full word?
The full word.
Oh, I agree with you. That's a terrible word for a license plate.
If you are a victim and you have had a stalker...
If you're a victim of any crime...
Yeah.
And you see this truck
that says stalker
in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, you're not a very good stalker if you're putting it right on there. I'd like to know you're coming.
And I thought about it. I'm thinking, is this...
No, that's wrong.
Maybe that was a family name, a surname.
I don't care.
Maybe they like celery.
If I care if they're celery ranchers.
Maybe they're deer hunters.
That's really dumb, by the way. That's like
are.
That's like putting pedophile on your license
exactly.
plate.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's like the stupidest thing I could imagine.
How about KDMLSTR? Is that okay, Mr. State Patrolman?
What kind of rig was it?
A big truck.
Like a big hunting truck or something.
Like
probably
that.
Some guy.
I'm sure it was.
Who's a bright feeder t-shirt guy.
Might be. Mm. But if
by the way, and he's probably either listens to us or Ichabod, so if you're out there, 1-800-252-1025, do you have a truck that says stalker on it?
I just imagine the poor woman who's had to live through something like this, riding down the road and sitting and being stuck behind this guy. And having this thrown in your face and reliving the nightmare of what you had to go through.
Meanwhile, Good Humor.
Good Humor couldn't get on a bike. For the love of God.
What have you been turned down for, Stan?
I tried for Hot to Go.
H-O-T, the numeral two, and then G-O?
No, I just wanted HOTTOGO.
Hot to go.
They turned me down, right.
And what did they say?
They said no. I ended up.
That could describe your cheeseburger. What's the problem with that?
I don't know. They just said that it was too sexual.
It's a takeout prostitution service. It's hoe to go. You're not fooling us.
Well, I ended up with Try Me On my Porsche and Ambition on my Scion.
Try Me On?
Yeah, well, I was single then.
Wow.
I'm glad it worked for you. Thank you very much. Stan in Kirkland. Appreciate it. Tracy in Federal Way. Hello. Were you turned down? Tracy?
Hello.
Hi, what were you turned down for?
I used to have a Tribeca, and I wanted to put on my license plate MLSWGN.
MILF wagon. And they said no.
They said no, sorry.
Wow, do they have to watch all the current movies?
Yeah, stay with all... come out this weekend and watch an Apple Pie 5 or whatever it is.
Wow, MLF wagon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a great one.
I thought I could sneak it by, but no.
Are you headed for Hot for Teacher Night tomorrow?
Nah.
Nah, thanks, Tracy, bye.
There's a guy on the text message who was approved for one that would be a little controversial. On his VW bus, he has DAMHIPY.
Damn hippie.
Yeah, they let that one go.
Oh, that's kind of cute, though.
Now, there's also a guy who asked for MFFDVR, and they did not let that one get through.
Yeah. Muff.
Oh, I thought it was the thing you record your TV shows on, the DVR.
I know, it looked pretty innocent to
Multifunction,
me.
Multifunction
DVR.
Favorite DVR.
Nope.
Pat in downtown Seattle, go ahead.
Oh, I got one for you, Bob. This one actually went out to a UW professor, and they retracted it after about 3 months. It's 6ULDV8.
6?
It comes out, if you say it real fast, it's sexual deviant.
Yeah.
I don't like that laugh.
What did you settle on then after they took it back?
James and Puyallup.
Yes, I got turned down for FA-Q.
Frequently asked questions.
if you.
Right.
Pronounce it really quick.
Yeah, I got it.
We get it. Thanks for trying.
Keith, go ahead. Last one of these.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
God, you get turned down for a license plate?
Yeah, I used to do asbestos, and we used to tear it out and haul it away, and I tried to get one for my motorcycle. It was H-A-L-N-A-S, like hauling asbestos, and they said it was too much like hauling ass.
That's really on the edge.
That's what I thought.
All right, thank you. Now, switch it around. Anybody proud of one that they sneaked by?
Yeah.
The only problem with that is if you brag about it.
Red flag.
They could be listening.
Yeah. Stalker never.
Can they take it away from you just because they changed their mind?
Absolutely.
Is there one person in Olympia whose job it is to say this goes, this doesn't, this passes, this won't? Anybody?
Yeah, there's a lady. It's one lady. We talked to her many years ago.
We did speak with her?
Yeah, it's
try and get her back on, Pedro. Do we have the license plate lady? Okay, Spike was upset that he saw a license plate that said stalker, so we want to speak with Chris Anthony, spokesperson, Department of Licensing, Olympia. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Spike's brother got turned down for a license plate that he wanted to abbreviate Good Humor, GDHMR, and they thought it was like another term, and even though there's a car called a Hummer, they wouldn't let him have it. But Spike saw yesterday a license plate that said stalker, and we thought, how freaked out would a young lady be if she'd had trouble with a guy doing this, and some guy was able to drive around in his big black truck with that really scary term on it. So do you guys only, like, care about sex terms, or do you actually stop violent terms, too?
No, we try to look for all terms that seem inappropriate or vulgar or off-color. And if someone sees
Could I get OFFCLR, off-color? Could I get that?
I can't answer that.
You can't give me an answer right now?
No, I'm not on the. I don't.
You don't do that.
I don't do that.
You talk to the media and you calm us down.
That's right.
Okay. So anyway,
doesn't that seem a little troubling to have that term on the street?
Well, it's troubling to me that we're talking about this guy and he may be a stalker. I don't want to take his license plate away.
Hugger, that was okay. Why couldn't I pick him?
So tree hugger would be okay. Tree HGR, you'd say that's cute, but you're defining what's good and bad taste here.
Well, we have the certain guidelines that we use to determine whether or not a plate is appropriate.
Okay.
And people are, when they apply for plates, they can explain what it means. Sometimes a term that someone might consider vulgar might actually turn out to be somebody's last name. And
right. And then do you let them have it if their last name is,
Lewinsky?
If their last name is truly that, it's.
If
his name is John Stalker, why would you deny him his own it's called a personalized license plate after all.
Yeah. Because we're the license plate Nazis and we take people.
Hey now. Well, what if his name was John Rapist? That wouldn't fly.
I would probably say it wouldn't fly.
Yeah. Well,
John Greenbud, Mr. Greenbud, would he get on there?
Thanks, Joe.
Well, I think that's a little safer than
it.
Yeah. But, I think Chris is sorry she took our call at this point.
No.
I'm not at all. No, all right. Big fans of your show.
Thank you, Chris.
But, if people do see a license plate that disturbs them or unsettles them, we do welcome people to complain, write a complaint to us.
Are you complaining, Spike? Do you want to take away this guy's fun?
I do. I really do.
Because you're concerned that other women out there might see it.
There may be a lady out there who's been traumatized and suffered and is a victim and has to sit behind this guy in traffic. And I don't think that's right.
But shouldn't a lady who's had that happen to her back you up in your complaint? Right now you're like a guy complaining about something that wouldn't bother you on behalf of someone else. That's like me complaining about the tomahawk chop. Unless I'm actually a Native American, what am I complaining about?
That's a fair argument.
Okay.
Anybody's... What disturbs one person, doesn't disturb another person, but we still will look at it if we get a complaint.
Another person pays extra for at closing time.
How about the license plate? 4NIK8R.
I would say that probably wouldn't get
through.
That's
not going to happen.
Fornicator.
You got to be more clever. I mean, I'm just asking. I'm trying to set the bar.
We have a number of resources that we check when we receive.
All your kids, right? You go home to your kids and say,
is this funny? God, that's funny.
We have to check, English dictionary. We have to check foreign language dictionaries. We have a lot
really?
Of... other language words coming through that we don't know what they mean, but we have caught,
How many people on your team are doing that checking?
We have a special plate review committee that I don't know how many people are on.
Are these the same people that put the NC-17 ratings on movies? Why don't you just hire them? Because they do that for a living too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing.
I know our state is in budget crisis, too. Have they tried to trim the staff? Have they said, well, the guy that knows Hindu, he's going to have to go because there just aren't that many Hindu words that come in?
We use the resources we can to check these things out.
I think she was offended by her use of the word.
Well, I didn't mean to pick a specific language. Yeah.
Do other states have leaner or laxer policies than ours? I was in California with my kid about 6 months ago and I saw a tag. It was FUBG8S.
Pub Gates.
F-U Bill Gates. It was Steve Jobs' car.
It was Steve Jobs' car.
And he was driving around like,
I'm not really familiar with what other states. That's a good answer.
That's a smart answer.
All right.
Well, I've seen, other states deny... different types of plates too, stories that come out and, but I'm not really familiar with their policies.
Being in the state, do you have a personalized plate or do you just go with what comes off the rack?
I just go with what I get.
Me too, Chris. You don't mess around with this.
I don't want to mess around.
No. All right. Chris Anthony, so nice of you to talk to us.
Well, I hope I answered your question.
You did, and okay, and we appreciate you. What you do. If someone complains about that plate, you'll look into it, right?
Oh, definitely.
All
right. Yeah, yeah. We've written complaint, and we will definitely look into it.
And I got to say, one thing our state is cool about with license plates is lots of great special interests get a lot of money. You can order license plates to help out schools, to help out all kinds of programs, and that's
yeah.
a good thing that you do down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and we have them all on our website. If anyone ever wants to check them out, there's a whole bunch of good causes out there.
All right. What's the website, Chris?
It's www.dol.wa.gov.
All right. Thank you, Chris Anthony.